Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns on Smoke Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour. It's me, Alex Mearns, and it's been a week since I did my podcast, which was the backlash of the England, well, failure at Euro 2016 after they got knocked out of the tournament by Iceland. They lost 2-1. On Friday night, I was out with my mates and we were all watching the Wales game. And after it finished, we were all just ripping into Roy Hodgson, as every single Englishman around the country has been doing for about a week. I asked the boys, I was like, right, we've had a kind of few days to think about what's gone wrong, and we all know, we're all saying Roy's done wrong. He's picked the wrong team, he's picked the wrong formation. Right, lads, pick a team. With the hindsight, none of them could change what he was putting on the field. So what I've done today is I've got a radio studio sorted. I've invited three Englishmen, including me, and one Irishman, and we've picked a team which we would start the first group game of Euro 2016 with all the knowledge we have of how badly England did. We're going to go back to the start and see what we would have changed. Lavin, you're not an Englishman, you're an Irishman, but you've watched every single England game at the Euros. What did you see going wrong and how have you changed it?
I'm actually hoping that I can send this as my CV for the vacant England manager job after this when I'm done. I actually, for the last game, I would have had John Stones in.
Okay.
The defence is pretty much the same, but only because John Stones is, as everyone calls, a ball-playing centre-back, which gives him excuses to make all the mistakes he wants. In most games we play, bar the Wales one, you know, we were the dominant team.
Yes.
He's a centre-back that can play in a role. Most people, they just let Smalling have the ball, and they just let him lump it forward, and it's not any good.
Yeah.
So the back four is pretty much exactly the same.
What formation are you playing?
I'm playing a four...
I love that giggle. Don't do that if you're going for the interview for the England job.
I'm playing a 4-2-3-1.
Nice.
So I've gone to the original 26 man squad.
Okay.
For my team, just because a few errors in judgment, I think, there.
Well, Roy got a lot of things wrong.
I've dropped Joe Hart. Surprise, surprise.
Nice.
He was a bit rubbish. For Forster, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phenomenal man. I've got a Dyer and Drinkwater base.
Love it.
Because I love Danny Drinkwater.
Yeah, don't we all?
And Eric Dyer, you know, we were talking about it earlier on. Man from Portugal Academy. The only one who can really play football in the English squad, isn't he?
Well, kinda. We were saying, because he's not been through the English academies, he's been through a foreign academy, he actually looks like he can play football.
Yep.
Yeah.
Proper upbringing.
Yeah,
proper
they teach you how to pass abroad, I presume, as well.
Looking from afar, though, with the Danny Drinkwater thing, how baffling was that decision?
I can understand because they had Eric Dyer as their holding midfielder, but that was it. That's all they had after him. Like, he would have been useful for the Russia game, I felt, to bring on at the end. If they were going to bring Vardy, they understand each other. There was, I think, in one of the friendlies, Drinkwater actually played a perfect ball over the top for a Jamie Vardy goal because they just understand each other. I think, was it the Australia game?
I totally agree. I saw Jamie Vardy when he was playing with Danny Drinkwater, that they've got that connection. But when he was playing with someone like Dele Alli, he was expecting the ball over the top of the defence. It just wasn't coming.
And that's the difference between Dyer as well. I guess with Dyer, we were also mentioning how he just plays the same loop ball over the top. So when we're dominating a team, he kind of struggles a little bit more. Drinkwater kind of has, I think he feels, he's just got a bit more of a range.
And he's a Premier League winner.
And he's a Premier League winner, champion. I've gone with Alli in his natural number 10 position. I think that's where he plays best. He had flashes of brilliance during the tournament, but nothing not a spectacular game. I've started Rashford as a left forward, purely based, I've written it down here, most exciting 9 minutes of the whole tournament, in my opinion, for England. Took on three people in the Iceland game when he came on. I thought even in the Wales game, he was in the build up to the second goal involved in that too. You know, more minutes to him would have been great. He started, whatever. Adam Lallana's there for the, you know, typical first half performance where he's absolutely brilliant and then needs to be subbed in the second half. Pretty much as soon as halftime comes, just get rid of him because he does nothing. But he starts in my team. And then Sturridge, this might be the worst. I can see Don Betts is giving me eyes. Sturridge, just purely on the moment of, and within a 30-second time period, he'll do one of the best things you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then immediately ruin it by blasting the ball wide.
But that 30 seconds is the greatest thing you've seen.
Yeah.
And
even in the Iceland game, he was like one of the only players he could play a nice little true ball forward and then a nice little 1-2 and he'd shoot from 30 yards and knock it wide.
This was my biggest problem with the England team was Rooney and Sturridge were our deepest ball playing midfielders because they're the most creative. But they're too centre forwards, they are strikers, which that's what they've done their whole careers, and they're having to drop back because we have no creativity, and that's a real shame. So would you play him right at the top? Is that where Sturridge is playing?
Sturridge right at the top purely because he's selfish, he's greedy, you know, he's in it for the goals, and when he's playing on the wing he's too far out, he'll want to shoot every time he's anywhere near a goal. So if he's the further up the pitch he is, the better in my opinion. And Rooney doesn't make it into my team at all.
Really?
Yeah, and I said this in a pub when we were watching the Slovakia game when they brought him on. I said Rooney is not better than Jack Wilshere when Jack Wilshere is fit.
Okay.
He's not better than Jack Wilshere, and the whole pub turned to me and it made me support Slovakia for the last game.
That's fine, to be honest, because I think that's what this podcast is about. It's about we made a lot of mistakes and it's time for some change, I think.
Yeah, but the thing is, a fit Jack Wilshere is, that's not a thing. That's just simply not a thing. But no, as you said, Rooney's a player you either start or you doesn't play at all.
Understood.
You don't bring him on because he doesn't offer anything coming off the bench. With Rashford on the left, it could work. I mean, he often played that position at United. He sort of swapped with Anthony Martial because they can both sort of play out wide and through the middle. It would make sense. Lallana, you just have to sum off at half time. Maybe, like, if you're playing a 4-2-3-1, I'd love to have Townsend in a team like that.
I have that written down.
Because, on
the right of the three, because he's our only direct winger. Sterling, he runs down the pitch, happy days, but then when he wants to do something, he doesn't know what to do with it. Whereas Townsend literally gets the ball, runs, and knows whether he's going to... I know he looks like he's going to cut inside and just keep running, but he's better than Sterling in a wide position, a 4-2-3-1.
It's funny, a player like Townsend, because you look at the Italian team, which have done so well in this tournament, and they've had a player called Giaccherini, and we all know from Sunderland that he couldn't get in a team which is in a relegation battle year on year. But what the Italian manager Conte has done, he's gone, you're not very good, Giaccherini, come here, I'm going to whisper in your ear and go, run about all day and all night. You haven't got the quality of the other players, which Townsend doesn't, but he's raw. And I think Roy could have got into Townsend's ear and made him his man, which does the legwork for a Dele Alli or a Sturridge. And he's just a totally different player to what we had in the squad. And I think you're right, the comparison between Sterling, of someone who gets to that final third and has nothing, Townsend has something, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, Townsend, compared to the other wingers we started in the game, were Adam Lallana and Sterling. Adam Lallana's more of playing an advanced playmaker out wide.
And Lallana hates scoring.
Yeah, whereas Townsend's not, he's not quite an inside forward, but he sort of does that sort of role where he's always attacking the goal.
Yeah,
I like him because the reason I had Townsend in is because, you know, those games, those frustrating ones, like one against Slovakia was a frustrating game where it's 0-0. I like Townsend because you know he's going to come on, you know he's going to cut inside, and you know he's going to absolutely thump it with his left foot. And if that goes in, brilliant. It's probably not, but when it does, it looks amazing. And he's the only player that I know, bar Harry Kane, who shoots every chance he gets, who's going to come on and absolutely thump a shot at the goal, and the only player who is not afraid to take a chance.
No, I agree.
That's why I thought he should. I actually have subbed for Lallana written down on my team sheet here for every game.
Right, well, that's Lavin's team. Dom, you've gave a little bit of insight of what you go for, but what is your formation? What would you change differently to what Roy Hodgson had?
Well, first of all, I played two up front.
Okay.
Because you had two strikers, you got 50 goals last season. Common sense, you know, comes into play sometimes. But I played diamond. I was going to play 4-4-2, but then it sort of worked out better if I played a diamond with the midfield I chose. So the back four will be the same, except I'd take away Kyle Walker, put in Nathaniel Klein. I'm just not a fan of Kyle Walker. I don't think he can defend.
No.
And we haven't got a very good defence anyway, so I'd rather get a fullback who can still run up and down the pitch in Nathaniel Klein, but is a bit better defensively than Anchorman, obviously Eric Dyer. Then, not necessarily, but the two in like the middle of the midfield would be Wayne Rooney and James Milner. Why is James Milner not played? I don't understand.
I don't get it.
It confuses me so much. And then Dele Alli in behind Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy. And substitutes, if I was going to bring anyone on, it'd be maybe bring Wilshere on, because he's a very, not, I mean, not direct, but more creative midfielder than, let's say, Milner when he gets tired. And then I'd bring on Rashford, either Kane or Vardy.
Nice. Why didn't we play like that? you've convinced me. We've got one more. We've got Joe, who works at the University of Westminster. He was a bit bored this afternoon, and he wants to give his team. Joe, what do you think went wrong with Roy Hodgson, firstly? What was he doing wrong, and where would you have done different?
First of all, afternoon, gentlemen. It's been a while since I've been behind the mic. Yeah, so I think Roy went wrong by the fact that he's a stubborn old dinosaur, that he's completely out of touch with modern football. And that's not saying we shouldn't hate him. He's done some great things in his career, most notably taking a pretty average Fulham side to a European Cup final, losing, but yeah, he got there. If you don't mind, I've come up with a little comment for each of my decisions. So I start off with Joe Hart in goal, which I think everybody would have done prior to the first game. That was basically a given, which he let us all down. Kind of fed up with him doing the whole thing of let's put loads of passion into the national anthem, fed up with fans saying that the players don't put enough passion into the national anthem. What has that got to do with the football, really? It's got absolutely nothing. It's nice to see your players getting well involved, but let's be honest, you look at the Italian national anthem, they've got so much passion in there. That's because they've got a good national anthem that would get you up anywhere. Whereas you listen to ours and you don't really, there's not really any encouragement to get involved. But Joe Hart, I mean, he does, and he opens his mouth, and for that reason people like him. But yeah, he would have been the goalkeeper. Yeah, I'm going to go to left back now, and Danny Rose. And I've just got Danny Rose. Roses are red, you made me blue. That summed up his tournament. Lots of prospect. He went forward with power and pace in the first game. He's too small to be a reliable defender, but he does make up for that in his attack and runs, which I don't think that he did enough of. And I feel that's to do with Roy Hodgson compared to Pochettino at Tottenham. He's encouraged to do it at Tottenham. There's a lot more freedom there, and they look like they have fun when they're playing football, whereas whatever Roy Hodgson does, it doesn't look like any of them are having a lot of fun. That could also be because they're playing for England and they can't handle the fact that if they lose, they get slated. Switching to right back, Kyle Walker, I would have started him. I like Nathaniel Klein, but yeah, it's all about Walker in that team. I just put peak too soon. He had a good first game, therefore he deserved to carry on playing, and then he was dropped from the Slovakia game, and I don't really understand why you drop your informed player in the first two games. But yeah, he came back from that, and I mean, against Iceland he was diabolical, I'd say. Moving to the centre halves, Smalling and Cahill. I'm not going to read what I've written next to them, but you can work it out from that. You can't blame Roy Hodgson for that. He had nothing to pick from. Who are you going to put in there? Phil Jagielka, John Stones, Rio Ferdinand? I don't know. I can't even think of any more English centre halves. No, good point, actually. I think if he hadn't have fizzled out towards the end of the season, he might have got a little run in the warm ups. He scores a lot of goals, so yeah, why not? But Ashley Williams would have been my first choice centre-half for England. I never had any idea that with a name like Williams that he was going to come up with an English accent. But that's a shame, a mighty shame. And then we go to the anchor position, and I will take Wayne Rooney in there. And I'd also like to use, for my comment, you've got the anchor after his name, and we'll just use the W before his name, and then we'll put that together.
For Wayne
anchor. Yeah. We'll put him in, and I think, to be honest, he's possibly our most gifted player, along with Daniel Sturridge, technically gifted, and I think that's why he can mould into being our best midfielder, although he's not a midfielder, so therefore he gets in my team every single time. But I do think he had a terrible, terrible second half against Iceland. Jack Wilshere on the left-hand side of a midfield three, so he'll play just slightly more advanced of Rooney, but is still a central midfielder at heart. And I've just put 999 next to him. I'd probably say 99 actually. So you've got your finger ready on the last nine, but you wait until the moment happens. So to be honest, he shouldn't have even been in the squad, because if you can't play in a season, can't finish 90 minutes in a season, you shouldn't be in a international tournament where you're playing six, seven games in the space of 3.5 weeks. Then James Milner on the other side. You know what you get from James Milner.
He's not a very do-a-job footballer.
Yeah, exactly. You ask him to do a job, he'll go and do a job. He's got a few turns on him. He can swing a ball in. He would have taken corners. But you're not going to scream and shout about having James Milner on your team. But when you've got a choice between him and Jordan Henderson, you feel like you've got Messi in your team. And that's as simple as that. And then we go to like an advanced narrow two. And my team is narrow, but that's where I'm hoping Kyle Walker and Danny Rose come into it. So you've got Dele Alli on the left-hand side of what do you call them? The number 10s or...
Inside forwards,
yeah. So I've got two of them. Dele Alli, who this season has been last season was an absolute revelation. Where he came, £5 million for him. That is an absolute signing of the century. Can't think of many transfers in my lifetime, let alone this season. But I also put in brackets next to him, did you miss the plane? I don't remember him doing one thing that was noteworthy. I don't remember him getting into a scrap with anyone, slightly with Aaron Ramsey, but whether that was pulled away from him so he didn't get sent off. But that was, it's always been said about Rooney when he was younger, that you take away his bite, you take away his game. And I think possibly there was something quite subdued about him. Maybe he was a little bit too far away from his pal Eric Dyer, but yeah, there was just nothing about him in the tournament. But he does start. Aaron Lallana on the other side. I've got another word that I can't use, but I've got luxury before that. So it's kind of like he's a luxury player and he's beautiful to watch and he's got this wonderful touch and nice hair and quite a nice face and he looks like a footballer. He looks like one of them nice footballers. Mm. But although I thought him and Kyle Walker were our shining lights in the first couple of games, he just didn't really get much from him. Again, like you said, he's scared of scoring goals. He's scared of shooting. He had a couple of shots and we can see why he's scared of scoring goals. But he does bring something to the team that makes you feel like we could outpass the team. We could be the better team on the day. And then centre forward, Daniel Sturridge. Just put horrible saliva next to his because I don't know if you remember the celebration against Wales, yeah. But the stills in that. His mouth doesn't look very attractive. But I think he is our most naturally gifted player. He brings a left foot, which adds balance to the team. He's good at football, but he's just never really there, is he? Like you said, he dropped off, kept coming to pick the ball up. And I don't want him there. I want him taking on the last two defenders and letting players overlap him like Dele Alli, Aaron Lallana. So there's 11.
Nice.
Left with you now.
Just me. Well, I kind of went for a team that I don't even know if I like at all, but it's picked because of the things that went wrong in the tournament. So I wanted to play a five at the back still with Eric Dyer, because I think there's a perception in England that if you play three centre backs it means you can play Rooney, Rashford, Sturridge, Kane and Vardy in front of them. No, you play the three centre backs. So when an Icelandic forward on the edge of our box is about to have a shot, one of the three centre-backs can come out and meet him. What happened was Eric Dyer was stood behind the striker. Smalling and Cahill were stood either side. And none of the three knew whether they should go and meet him, if you know what I meant.
I mean, they could have talked. That would have helped.
Well, that would have helped. But I think you need as much protection for Cahill and Smalling, so I wanted to give the only other centre-back we've got in the squad, John Stones, put him in the side, as well as Eric Dyer. My problem as well with the squad is we didn't decide who our main men were. So Roy should have picked two players like Chris Coleman's done with Aaron Ramsey and Gareth Bale and gelled the squad, focusing on them two players. And my two players are Dele Alli, who was the most exciting young player in the Premier League last year and he won the Young Player of the Year award. So sorry, I'd say my formation: Joe Hart still in goal, five at the back with Walker as my wing back on the right, Stones, Cahill, Smalling, Danny Rose on the left, a four man midfield of Milner on the right because he adds width and quality from crossing, which We saw none of that, none of that in any of the games. Quality from set pieces and crossing was embarrassing. I'm still playing Dyer and Rooney just because, even with hindsight, I still can't leave Wayne Rooney out. I don't know why. What is it about him that we can't leave him out?
But the thing is, there's no one else in the entire squad that we picked. Obviously, Drinkwater got dropped from the 23. From the 23-man squad, there is no one else next to Dyer I'd rather have than Wayne Rooney.
Because you
Henderson,
think...
No. Wilshere?
No. And Milner, maybe, but you want him out wide because that's where he's better. So, a four-man midfield of Milner on the right, Dyer and Rooney in the middle, and Dele Alli just off the left. But England fans, I'm not saying he's Ryan Giggs. I'm not saying he has to play as a left winger. He can float wherever the hell Dele Alli wants to float. He can go wherever the hell Dele Alli wants to play, right? And then I'm playing the Premier League winner, Jamie Vardy. He is my man that I want to play in the squad. I think it's a shame we had such an argument between Sturridge, Kane and Vardy up front. It's the first time we've had so many strikers since the 90s, it seems. And I just... what I would do in Roy Hodgson's shoes, I'd pick one and go with it, and my one was Jamie Vardy. But,
well, yeah, if you're playing it in a formation like that, you obviously do want Vardy, because you've got five at the back and then four midfield, one up top.
Yes.
And it's going to be a very counter-attacking formation.
Yeah.
And balls have been flying across up the pitch, and Vardy's the player you want there.
Yeah,
because he's the player who's been used to playing in that sort of way all season long.
I think if we play more defensively in the group games, teams will actually want to come on to us, if you know what I mean, because we're not going to have possession in front of their 18-yard box. So they're going to come on to us and then we can counter them. But no, to be honest...
But I think you're right, going back to your comment just a second ago about having one striker or picking your striker. I think that shows in all of football throughout time that when a striker, they all rely, they need to be babied, and when they know that they've got the confidence of their manager, they perform so much better. So they know that if they go a game, two games, three games without scoring a goal, they're still the first name on the team sheet, and that's what makes a striker score goals.
Well, that's the thing. I would have gone with Vardy, right? But he's 20. Is he 29? Harry Kane's the future. So why? This is the thing with this. This is the thing. Even with hindsight, and I'm not saying I feel sorry for Roy Hodgson, because it's his fault we're all confused. Because if we knew what our starting 11 was going in to the tournament, then we kind of don't really have any problems. This isn't really a conversation. If we go, well, that's his team, this might be ours, but he's the manager, so he picks it. So we're going to leave him and let him do it. But what happened? Roy left us with such confusion upon who he's picking that we still don't even have a clue what our best team is.
You can compare that to the four teams that are left in the tournament.
Yeah.
Germany, you know what their best team is.
Yes.
Wales, you know what their best team is.
Yeah. Bales, did you call
them?
Bales.
Not their best team is. Just Gareth Bale up front, no. But Portugal, they don't know their best team is. Just Ronaldo up front.
Yeah.
But no, all the four teams left know what their best team is. Even France know what their best team is.
Yeah, we're not from their countries, but before the tournament, we could probably write down their 11, and we'd probably get maybe one or two wrong. If a German wanted to write down the England, he wouldn't have a clue, because
he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's you know, just talking about the strikers and stuff, you know, like the options that we had. I think it's Inter. Me and Joe both had Sturridge up front, and I think you had Jamie Vardy, and you had
Kane and Vardy.
I always think it's, if Sturridge had remained fit for the entire year,
yeah,
I never think Harry Kane or Vardy would have even been considered.
No.
I think because Sturridge is our naturally... he's a gifted footballer. It made me giggle. I was laughing for about 5 minutes when Joe said this. That he said, Sturridge is a good footballer. And I was thinking, that surely is the minimum requirement for a footballer in the team. He should be a good footballer. But Sturridge is, technically, I think, our best player. I think he's exciting to watch when he is in form and when he has players around him just giving him the ball.
So can I ask you a question about that? If you're saying, if Sturridge was fit, he's playing. So because he wasn't fit and he only played a few games at the end of the season, just like Jack Wilshere, even though you like Sturridge and you like Jack Wilshere, right, would you have taken them?
I wouldn't have taken both of them. I think I wouldn't have also, with Jordan Henderson, I think he should have been left behind too.
Yeah.
Because he was never put to use because he was unfit. He wasn't fit enough. I think if you're going to take... that's why Danny Drinkwater should have either went instead of either. And I think it's also another thing as well. No, not one of us has talked about Ross Barkley.
No.
Even though he's in the 20, he was in the 23 man squad. So that's like someone where someone
and
was.
He's played all season for Everton. I know he hasn't played well, but he has been fit.
Yeah.
And even Dele Alli, he got suspended for the last four games of the season. So he was coming into the tournament not match fit.
I think maybe Barkley maybe was something we should have used more.
I know.
Because he's so direct in his play that he maybe have offered something against a team who just sitting on their 18-yard line waiting for England to attack. Because what England did, they were just passing the ball around. It wasn't actually attacking the defensive line. That was the problem. We had like maybe like 55%, 60% possession in a game and like maybe 15 or so shots, but we didn't actually test the goal.
I think we're blinded by these players. I think all four of us have got Dele Alli in the team, who had an awful tournament, and we're saying with the hindsight of seeing Dele Alli not play very well, let's go back to the start of the tournament and change our teams, and we're still not changing our teams. That's the problem with these players, isn't it? We just think Wayne Rooney's the best player in the world, that he can't be taken out of a team.
That's why he's not in my team.
The fear of what would happen if we didn't have Rooney in our team.
Yeah.
If we lost then you're, I mean, against Slovakia, he was left on the bench. So Roy Hodgson couldn't really win there. He was told that Rooney should not be nowhere near the squad before the tournament. He had a couple of half-decent games, the first two games, and then dropped for the Slovakia game for rest, I presume. And then Roy Hodgson gets it in the neck for leaving him out. And it's like, where can Roy Hodgson go right? But I think the big problem was for England in this tournament was there's never a plan B. We could not break teams down, and there's something, a serious question to be asked there, because we had players that should be able to, over the course of 90 minutes, break down any team in the world, really.
Yeah.
But when you can't break a team down, you change something up. And there's nothing, there's no change there. You bring Kane off, you bring Vardy on. Okay, he's a little bit more direct and he'll run at players rather than kind of try and hold the ball up and work a bit of space. But where's the harm? When you're bringing Rashford, completely untried, he's got years ahead of him. Hasn't, I mean, he had a very good second half or first ever introduction to the Premier League. But you've got a player, Andy Carroll, who finally managed to string a load of games together. He scares the hell out of any defender in the world. So when you're playing against Iceland and you see them launching long throws into the box and coming off pretty much every time, when we've got half an hour left and we're starting to panic because we can't break a team down, why not chuck Andy Carroll on up top and just whack the ball up top? Mm. Let him knock it down to the quality that we've got around him and make chances from that. You see it at West Ham. I think it was against Chelsea season just gone. I think they won 3-2 maybe.
Yeah.
Andy Carroll completely bullied whoever was playing at centre half for Chelsea that day. And that's just a physical presence by just putting the ball up to his head, because we know he's going to win every attack.
And you've got the players running off him who win the knock-ons anyway.
You've got your Aaron Lallanas then, your Dele Allis then, that can, you bring him into the game. And that's something that Kane and Vardy and Sturridge can't do. Rashford can't do. And I'm not saying that Andy Carroll's anywhere near quality-wise as good as them. But there's a plan B there, and we had no plan B for when things went wrong.
I think that's it. I think we've got to stop, or we'll just go on for until the World Cup starts.
Or we could live up to our name, the Football Hour, and keep going for an hour. But, I mean, you know.
That's true.
I'm just saying, if England had Robbie Brady in your team, he would have been fine.
Probably. Well, I think I've got a solution where we can end this on. I think we should have a break for 2 years. I don't think these players, if we don't know who our manager's going to be, if there's no one who looks like, you know what, he's what is going to take England forward, let's have a 2-year break. Is it the World Cup qualifiers followed by the World Cup?
Yeah.
Just don't do it. Yeah. Come back again in 2018, because these players do not deserve to get us excited for the World Cup, when obviously we're going to qualify because it'll be the easiest group. We'll play, I don't know, the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, we've got a group. We've got like
something.
Slovakia, Scotland, which
we don't deserve it.
We got Slovakia away, I think, as our first qualifier.
It'll be 4-0 in that game.
Yeah, we'll win about 4 or 5-0.
Right, great.
Can't wait for that.
Nathan Redmond's the future. You've heard it here first.
Nathan Redmond and Robbie Brady. Norwich heroes.
Well, he can come back in 2 years when he's ready.
Is he, oh, he's gone to Southampton because Marley and I went to Liverpool.
I'm going
to
stop this now. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Dom. I've been Alex Mearns. You've been listening to The Football Hour. We hate you, Roy Hodgson.
You can listen to all our latest podcasts on our Audio Boom channel. audioboom.com/The Football Hour.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.